Hey, guys.
Hey, John.
Hey, John.
It's great to be here at a podcast.
I actually don't want to be here at all.
Yeah, there sure is plenty to talk about this week, but it was all for show and none of it really means anything. So why are we talking about this anyway?
Yep, there was that meeting between legislative leaders. They talked about a pre-existing conditions bill, a tax cut, a Medicaid expansion. And I'm going to have to do all the talking because Sean didn't cover any of it.
The question now is whether any of that bipartisan talk will lead to bipartisan action or whether it's just putting on a happy face. Ooh, good context, buddy. I'll probably do all the talking on this episode.
Well, let's talk about it. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week, let's talk about putting on a happy face.
Let's get this over with.
All right, guys. Well, do you want to start the week where it began with a meeting between Governor Evers and legislative leaders?
Sure. Let's start that meeting. You know what happened? There was a joint caucus of Assembly Republicans and Senate Republicans, a private caucus. So what is that? It's where like the entire, you know, Assembly Republican caucus meets behind closed doors. This time they did it with the entire Senate Republican caucus.
I feel like you just said caucus like 12 times.
Yeah.
What is a caucus? Well, it's when the caucus gets together with the other caucus
yes,
and they
will,
come together.
I will explain the definition of caucus by saying caucus over and over again. It is the group of Assembly Republicans and the group of Senate Republicans. There was a long way of saying nobody can remember that happening in a long time. Like if ever, I think Senator Fitzgerald said that's the first time we've ever done that, you know,
mm-hmm.
So that gives you an idea of the way that Republicans maybe view the new world of state government. You know, when they had single party control, they could spend their time kind of sniping at each other, getting into internal disputes between Speaker Voss and Senate Majority Leader Fitzgerald. Now they're pals, they're buddies. And they held a meeting, a private meeting, and invited Governor Evers. And he came to the meeting and he spoke.
And so what happened at that meeting, we had kind of Sean was upstairs waiting for the leaders to come out. I was downstairs waiting for the governor to come down and do a press conference. And so we had, you know, the sort of setup to wait with bated breath to see, like, what did you guys talk about? And what was, you know, what was the deal? And what did you agree on anything? And I feel like from my perspective, the Evers press conference was pretty chill.
Yep. I would say so. It was about five minutes, too,
yeah,
right?
It was really short. He said, you know, it was kind of just a hey, hi, getting to know you kind of thing.
What was his best quote there?
He was talking about he was talking about the Medicaid expansion, and he was talking about how he wants to accept the Medicaid expansion and Republicans remain opposed to it. And he said, you know, we're not going to burn the Capitol down or anything. We're just going to disagree.
Which is exactly what somebody who's going to burn the Capitol down would say.
So we're going to keep an eye on that. So the other things he talked about were also, he talked a little bit about the pre-existing conditions bill. He said that he wants to make sure that the state bill that guarantees coverage for health insurance coverage for people with pre-existing conditions offers the same amount of guarantee as the Federal Affordable Care Act. So he weighed in on that a little bit. That's a little teaser. We're going to talk more about that later. He said they didn't talk a ton about transportation funding, but they did talk briefly in a happy way about how Governor Evers has decided to keep WEDIC. He had talked about during his campaign getting rid of WEDIC. Republicans are really pleased that he's decided not to do that in his budget, and he confirmed that he's not going to do that.
So that was Evers' take on the meeting. What did Republicans have to say?
They spoke also very briefly after this meeting. I would like to say this whole thing was very fast. Evers speaking to the Republican caucus was very brief. Evers' press conference talking about what he talked about was very brief. The Republican reaction to what Evers said was very brief. And I was really struggling to hear if there was any new ground in there. I guess to hear Senator Fitzgerald's take on all of it, he viewed the Evers' statement that he's not going to eliminate WEDIC as big news. Evers had said that previously. He said it at a meeting of the Wisconsin Bankers Association, right? So that wasn't new in that caucus, but that was something that Senator Fitzgerald said was good to hear. But then when they talk about tax cuts, It gets a little tricky. So, you know, Republicans start saying, well, you know, we both share the same view of cutting taxes, so that's great. Always leaving off the fact of, or, you know, the point of how they would pay for their tax cuts. And then when it comes to Medicaid expansion, they seem miles apart still on that. So that to me is where they come out of this meeting. It's like, oh, great first step. You know, I want to thank the governor for coming to this meeting. By the way, you know, we don't agree with him on many things. That was my impression of it on that day. However, I don't know, the week developed.
So on some issues, it seems like the bipartisanship is more genuine, whereas other issues, it's, you know, slightly happy-facier.
You know what we need is we need to be able to read the thoughts of newsmakers. I've thought about this. You know, you could just ask.
That's like, a hot take there, Sean.
Senator Fitzgerald, is this bill going to pass? And he's like, you know, maybe it's got a chance. And then you hear his thought bubble. He's like, no way. Wouldn't that be helpful?
That would be great. Yeah. We should get to work on that, figure out how to make that happen.
But then you'd have to hear what newsmakers think about reporters, too.
Yeah.
So I don't think I want to.
Stupid question.
Yeah, everyone. That's so dumb. This guy's so tall, you know?
Not that woman again.
I actually don't want to hear all that. Yeah, so let's keep things like it is right now. But I do question how much of what we're hearing at the Capitol right now is like, it's like a game of chicken and who can, a game of being nice chicken, right? Evers is out there saying, I want to work with the other party. Republicans are out there like, yeah, we also want to pass this bill that protects people with pre-existing conditions. And we want to pass your tax cut, Governor. And we all support this stuff, and let's work together. It's like, who's going to stop smiling first a little bit?
Yeah, and, you know, I think we did already this week have some moments of not smiling. And we've kind of alluded to them because, you know, Republicans have talked about how they support an income tax cut similar to the governor, but they really don't want him to make changes to the manufacturing and agriculture tax credit. They've alluded to that consistently, like, you know, we agree on this tax cut, but we're going to draw the line if he wants to do it by changing the man and ag tax credit. So we have had sort of these like, we agree, but here's this line in the sand.
Yeah, they held a press conference this week where they talked about how they think a tax cut should be. And I believe they're framing it as, look, we want to help the governor fulfill his campaign promise.
Yeah.
We're going to have this tax cut and we're going to pay for it with our surplus. I mean, they're calling the state surplus, the budget surplus, which let's call it a balance. Like there's money in the state budget.
Mm-hmm.
They want to pay for it with that.
Yeah. I mean, so I think I'm sort of talking from the perspective of Tuesday where like there were these like little lines in the sand drawn. So there were like these little frowns from the happy faces and then the smile, 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 frown, just a quick frown at the end. But then when we got further along into the week on Thursday, when Republicans had the press conference about their tax plan, they got a lot more specific and said, like, not only do we not want this man and egg cut to pay for the tax cut, but here's our idea. We want to use this pile of money to pay for it. And then Governor Evers came back and said, yeah, I'm so glad that I think the statement was actually from his spokeswoman. The governor is so glad that Republicans are on board with the idea of lowering taxes for middle class families. This is fantastic.
They're
embracing the governor's idea.
We're friends here.
We're all friends here. Obviously,
you agree with me.
Right. But then, you know, the next paragraph was, but the Republicans' proposal of how to do this tax cut using that pile of money falls short of the governor's idea and gets kind of harsh at the end of the statement. It's like, you know, this is irresponsible. It's putting taxpayers on the hook for a continuing expense using a one-time pile of money. And it's a tax break for millionaires that the governor wants to eliminate. So I think on Thursday, the frowny faces, as it were, if we're going to go with this analogy, they lasted a little bit longer and they got a little bit more detailed. Do you think that's fair to say?
I don't know.
It was like a little fleshed out?
I think the smile, smile, frown thing, that's I'm listening to your theory.
I'm just saying here. It was like smile, smile, frown.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the week. And now it's sort of like smile, 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 frown, frown, frown.
Okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. So how would you characterize the letters that, that the two sides exchanged?
Well, it was all just emojis of smiley faces and frown faces written out longhand.
Okay. So Governor Evers initiated this public letter campaign, right, by sending a public letter to legislative leaders saying, let's meet to talk about the pre-existing conditions bill.
Which
right?
is so confusing to me. I think we should, or maybe it's not confusing to me. I know everything. But I think we should point out, like, the governor did meet with legislative leaders on Tuesday. So why is he sending a letter saying we should meet when he already met on Tuesday? So this was a post-Tuesday meeting letter about meeting.
Yeah. Well, so let's differentiate there. The Tuesday meeting was with these big caucuses full of Republicans. Mm-hmm. It was just like a brief speech from Evers. You know, here's my staff. Here's me. Let's work together. Out. Let's do our 5-minute press conferences and we're done for the day. Mm-hmm. To say that he wanted to meet with legislative leaders specifically to talk about this one bill, that's like how, you know, if the conditions were right, if they were actually open to compromising, that would be how a deal would get made, mm-hmm. is that Fitzgerald, Voss, Evers would meet behind closed doors. And I'm sorry, that's how it would happen. And
like actually getting down to the brass tacks with just the three of them, not these huge caucuses. Like,
right.
Because that would be sort of the definition of too many cooks in the kitchen, right? When
yeah.
you're trying to negotiate.
Boy, trying to negotiate
like
a bill with the caucuses like that would be tricky. Yeah. Open government, even. No, but I mean, like, look, a bill like this is going to be negotiated by a governor and legislative leaders. So Evers initiates it, but, you know, shares the letter with some members of the media.
So he sent the letter.
Uh-huh.
And then shortly after, another letter was released
from
the leaders.
From the leaders. And they're like,
thanks for the offer to meet.
So glad you want to meet.
Smile.
That time is not good for us.
So this is like the kind of stuff that if you're trying to schedule a meeting with a coworker or something, you might trade, you know, Slack messages,
emails, like,
or
oh.
you send an Outlook invite, like a calendar invite to somebody, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they reject it. Like, how about this time? But when you're sort of fake talking in public, you send letters and you share them with members of the public instead of just having staff talk and say like, hey, when can we meet? Because
right.
the leaders are like, we can't do it that day. How about 12 to 3, which is very specific,
right,
on Thursday.
Which I think is really funny because the Republican letter, I just remember this part. I don't remember for the governor's letter to Republicans, but the Republican letter to the governor was like, Governor Evers, P.O. Box something something, like in the top. It didn't just say like governor's office. And it would be funny like if these letters were actually going back
it.
And forth. They were. It would be like, oh, I haven't checked my P.O. Box. Like,
Evers
I didn't know
gets his
he
mail on Friday
me.
And he's like, this is so embarrassing because I was available yesterday from 12 to 3.
Right. And I really wanted to talk about this bill.
But here's the thing. At that point, I'm thinking, okay, this is just ridiculous. They're not really talking. But then apparently they talked. Like
they
apparently
met
they
the,
met
in the 12 to 3 window.
They did, and apparently that wasn't. I was waiting for the other letter to talk about how it went, you know. But apparently they talked, and so that to me signals a little more like action than I was expecting. I thought this whole week, I certainly thought that caucus and the press conferences afterward were all for show. And I just assumed that everything that came after it this week would be kind of for show.
So how do you know that they talked and that it may have or may
I don't know
may
if it mattered
result in something.
I don't know if
well,
it mattered,
but some clue
to get them in a room together sounds significant. I mean, Evers tweeted about it. He said, mm-hmm. thanks for the meeting. I guess we're going back into the public then when he's talking about a meeting that they had. But
what happened to the actual bill?
Okay, here's
yeah,
as
I mean,
we're
they
talking
referenced
about.
Yeah, let's talk
meeting.
About this bill.
Yeah.
So remember this bill? This is like the same bill that we talked about a lot last year. It would have state protections for people with pre-existing conditions in state law. As opposed to, you know, the federal protections in, you know, the federal protections under the Affordable Care Act are still there right now, but there is this lawsuit, which actually, under an initial decision in Texas, it would strike down the entire ACA. That decision's been put on hold. But if the ACA were to go away, it would fall to state laws like the one they're talking about writing now to spell out predictions for people with pre-existing conditions. So this bill does that, but it does not include a ban on like a lifetime cap for
like how much your insurance company can pay for you over the course of your life.
Right. Or annual caps. And it doesn't include essential benefits that every insurance company has to cover. So it doesn't go as far as the Federal Affordable Care Act. And Eva says those things have to be in this bill. Mm-hmm. So and they're not there now. But, you know, leaders are talking with the governor and two Democrats voted for this bill in committee.
So this bill was up for a committee vote on Thursday. It had a public hearing Tuesday, committee vote on Thursday. And when the two Democrats voted for it, they said, we understand that the governor and leaders are in negotiations and that maybe changes will come to this so I can support it on the floor. So I'm voting this out so it can get to the floor, which is kind of, I mean, that's a thing. I was going to say remarkable, but it's not like remarkable as in like, whoa, the whale jumped over the wall. It's remarkable and like it's worth remarking on.
I'm learning a lot from you. This smile, smile, frown, whale jumped over the wall. Let's keep a list here.
I'm just thinking about when Free Willy jumps over the wall. It's like it was a remarkable jump.
That's a mighty specific movie reference.
Yeah. I was thinking about the common uses of remarkable.
Saying that people use, it's like the whale jumped over the wall. Is this a Laurel White original?
It's a Laurel White original, but it's going to catch on.
Because people do talk about like,
laughing.
So and so is your white whale, right? Like it's a Moby. Yeah, they're more apt to reference Moby Dick than the great Free Willy.
Both narrative classics.
Yeah, true. Free Willy doesn't get enough. Cultural references. So, no, I'm saying it was remarkable in that it's worth remarking upon, the fact that two Democrats voted for this bill in committee.
It is, and you know we could still reach, I think, the outcome that seems most likely, where Republicans pass their bill. Seems most likely to me. Okay, where Republicans pass their bill, they don't include these Democratic suggestions. At the same time, we're teetering a little bit closer to a bipartisan deal than I expected we would, where governor meets with leaders. Okay, significant. Democrats vote for bill in committee. Well, it's kind of significant. So it's created a little more suspense on this one for me than I thought there would be.
And just to kind of like do a little aside and a, I don't know, lesson on how government might work for the next 4 years. This is the first bill. They're calling it AB1. Let's say the assembly passes it, the Senate passes it, it goes to the governor's desk. He, if it doesn't have these things that he says he wants, he can't like veto it to include those things.
Right? Not really, really creative.
No, not this one. He can't. It's
he
not
can't.
An
no, because it doesn't
oh,
have
no an appropriations
yep. bill. So he doesn't have
right,
that special.
So it's just an up and down thing.
He needs that money to unlock that powerful veto pen of him, yep. of his, of him.
Of him. The pen is of him. So
this pen jumps over walls.
It's remarkable.
Good.
Just to kind of like preview what maybe could happen.
We still don't know if it's going to pass the Senate. It didn't pass the Senate in extraordinary session in December, although I think it is noteworthy that the Senate Republican author is Senator André Jacques, who was not in the Senate when this came up for a vote last time. So maybe, I mean, it failed by like one vote, right? So maybe this time it would pass because André Jacques is the sponsor. Stay tuned.
We'll let you know how it goes.
So they might just happy face their way into some actual bipartisan legislation.
I like that that's a verb now.
Yeah, but this is going on in the context where there's still some frowny faces in terms of last session's legislation and, you know, the governor's powers and lame duck stuff. And so what happened this week in terms of a lawsuit and an injunction and some stuff?
How about the federal one first?
Okay, so the federal one is about a lawsuit that challenges the restrictions on early voting that were passed during the lame duck session. And basically what happened here is the liberal groups that brought the initial lawsuit challenging some election laws in Wisconsin, that lawsuit was decided in 2016. they went back to the same judge and said, hey, these new laws, we think they're in violation of your 2016 ruling. Could you issue an injunction to block them? And the judge came back and he said, I agree. I think these new laws are in violation of my 2016 ruling. I hereby block them. So,
yeah. And his quote was not even a close call. Right.
Yeah.
Judge James Peterson.
Mm-hmm. So the things that are blocked now, a 14-day limit on early voting in Wisconsin, and some things to do with the IDs that you can use to vote, a 2-year expiration date on a student ID was put back in during the lame duck session. That's not there anymore. And then the how long you can use one of those receipts if you're in the ID petition process to get a state ID that's valid for voting if you don't have a birth certificate or you're having other challenges getting that ID, having the documentation to do that. So some election laws that are now unenforceable as a result of this judge's ruling this week.
And then we had just a micro development in the state lawsuit that seeks to overturn the entire extraordinary session. The plaintiffs in that case, League of Women Voters, Disability Rights Wisconsin, among others, have lawyers. The defendants in that case, as of yesterday anyway, did not. So that case is being brought against Governor Evers, Attorney General Josh Call, members of the Elections Commission, the Elections Commission Administrator in their official capacities. And so far, the Department of Justice is not defending the state. You know, if you look at the list of who's representing these people on the circuit court's website, they just don't have lawyers. Mm-hmm. And so the legislative leaders, two committees of legislative leaders authorized the legislature to hire their own attorneys, which is a power that was expanded in the lame duck session, which is being challenged under this lawsuit.
It's a little meta.
Very meta.
I think just to maybe this is a silly thing to clarify, but I just want to point out that it is a little odd and maybe confusing to some people so this is a lawsuit that challenges whether or not it was legal to have this extraordinary session. So it's a lawsuit brought by these outside groups against the state, which was, of course, headed at that time by Governor Walker and others. But now the lawsuit, because it's suing the state, basically, now Evers and Call and the current executives of Wisconsin government are listed as the defendants, right?
Yes, correct.
So that might be confusing to people. Like, it's a suit over the lame duck lawsuit. Evers wasn't in charge during the lame duck, but because he's the state now, he's the man.
Yeah.
He's the defendant.
The formal complaint says, like, no offense, Governor Evers, but you're the man now.
So we need to sue you
It
anyway.
Does not say that. But, yes, lawsuits like these are typically filed against these executive office holders just in their official capacities. So If we get a new chair of the Elections Commission, because they rotate in and out, every so often, that person's name would rotate to the top of the suit. It's just one of those things. Mm-hmm. It's official.
Just a little clarification there.
Mm-hmm. Way to happy face your way through that explanation.
Oh, thanks. I do what I can.
Here's what I'm really thinking. Let's finish this show.
Real talk.
All right. Well, Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
Hey, that wasn't so bad after all.
Good points, Sean Johnson. Good points.
Whale jumped over the wall. Nailed it.
Just like an orca vaulting its way to freedom, you can have new episodes of the WPR Politics Podcast land with a splash on your phone, smart speaker, or wherever else you listen to podcasts almost every single week when you subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find it on Google Play and Stitcher, as well as many other fine podcast apps. And you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politics.